It's not making it louder for us, it's just the recording. All right, good morning, everyone. It's good to welcome you to our monthly board meeting with the South Utah Valley Electric Service District. Let me welcome Kenny Singh to our board today and item number two on the agenda. We'll get to know him a little bit better. But for now, we just want to make sure you're welcome, feel welcome. We'll begin with our prayer and pledge of allegiance. Joel Brown will offer the prayer and I'll lead us in the pledge.
Our eternal Father in heaven, we are grateful this day to meet as a board, as employees, and as guests here at CSD's monthly board meeting. Father, we're thankful for all the blessings we receive and for thy hand in all things. And especially we're thankful for the opportunity to represent those that we represent in our districts and in our area. We ask a special blessing on their families and on each of them. And we ask that special blessing on our employees, that their work, that they will be safe and be watched over also. We're thankful for this opportunity to govern and to make decisions, and we ask thy spirit to be with us this day as we discuss board items and things that we need to accomplish, that we'll be able to do so in a pleasing manner. We say this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, thank you for that. Item number two on our agenda is the swearing in of our new trustee, Kenny Singh. In as much as you were not here last month, Paul and I, we went through the swearing in process last month. So we invite you to stand and Mark to go through the swearing in process. And then after you've done that, I'd kind of like you to take a minute and introduce yourself to us and tell us a little bit about yourself so that we get to know you better, and hopefully we have an opportunity to tell you a little bit about ourselves and perhaps maybe even before we do the swearing in, maybe it would be well right now to introduce each of us to you. So Wendy, maybe you go ahead and start and introduce yourself to Kenny and maybe just a little about you.
I'm Wendy Prey. I'm the mayor of Woodland Hills, and I'm just tickled to have you here. It's good. It'll be good to get to know you.
I'm Paul Merritt. No, this is Paul. I'm Joel Brown. I'm living in West Mountain, so I represent that district on the West Mountain part of it. And I've never met you, Kenny. I've seen your trucks everywhere, you know. Know a little bit about you, but yeah, it's good to meet you. I'm a business owner also, Freeway Propane, Freeway Fencing. So anyway, yeah, okay. anyway, I'm glad to have you here too. We're glad to have you on the board.
I'm Ray Loveless. I used to have a business. After I retired,
now you're getting everybody else's.
Yeah, getting everybody else's business. I worked in water quality my whole life, and after I retired, I had my own little consulting business for a while, but I've decided enough is enough. And so I represent out in the east part of our district, out towards Elk Ridge, but in the unincorporated area of the Salem Fields and out east of Salem.
I'm Nelson Abbott. I'm a city councilman with the city of Elk Ridge, and I run an insurance agency here in town, have for the last 22 years, and I also volunteer as a firefighter.
Gordon, I live down Lake Shore, I've lived there all my life, pretty much, and I retired with the church as facilities management, and
Oh, Paul's back.
Okay.
Paul, we're introducing ourselves to Kenny.
Well, I'm Paul Meredith.
This is going to be hard to get used to. I don't like microphones. I'm Paul Meredith. I live down on the south end of West Mountain by Kegley Quarry and all the other quarries down there. And I've been on the board for, I don't know, 10 years now. And I represent on West Mountain, whatever Joel doesn't represent. And
Spring Lake.
Spring Lake. And I taught school at Payson High School for a long time and glad to be here.
Okay, go ahead, Mark, and do the swearing in.
So, Kenny, so we have a little form here. It's from the state, it's directly from state code. So I'm going to have you put your arm to the square, Kenny. And then I'll have you read this for me.
I do solemnly swear or affirm that I will support, obey, and defend the Constitution of the United States in the Constitution of the State of Utah, and that I will discharge the duties of my office with fidelity.
Very good. Thank you, Kenny. You're official now.
It's official. So, Kenny, introduce yourself.
Well, I'm not a native Utah. My wife and I got married in 73. We come here in 78 to go to BYU. And I love Utah. I get emotional. I listened to Governor Herbert recently. He said that he was the only guy that ever balled at the opening of malls and the shopping centers. I'm not much better, but I come here in 78, I worked for an excavator, went to BYU, got tired of BYU and never graduated, but started my own business. Doing it for 35 years. We enjoy a lot of success now, but we went through a lot of trials getting there. And anybody that's been in business knows that too, and I think we can appreciate each other. And I'm grateful to be here too.
All right, well, thank you. I'm sure we'll all get to know you more and more.
Well, Kenny, you need to know I cry in Hallmark movies, so.
And some board meetings.
Which says a little, I mean, not only does he cry, he's in Hallmark movies.
Yeah.
Where are you from?
Montana. Well, we've lived in Spanish Fork since, lived in town in 97 to 2005, and then we moved out into the county where we're at now.
I'm not native either, but I will.
All right, well, thank you. Next item on the agenda is a public forum. Kelly Peterson has indicated he wants to make comments. Kelly, we invite you to go up to the front of the board and address the board with your comments.
So I wasn't able to attend last month's board meeting. I had a representative here and he kind of took notes. And one of the comments in his notes that he brought back to us at Spanish Fork was that Mayor Frey had made a comment that she wanted to make sure Blair still got all the documents, minutes, all that type of stuff. And as the Blair being a customer of the city, we want to be treated the same way if those documents are available to his customers.
I think, Kelly,
That's just the notes I got. I wasn't here, so I don't know what.
Can I just make a comment so you know? I wanted to make sure he got the minutes from the meeting where we were recognizing his service, and he wasn't here. And
yes.
I just wanted to make sure he heard that. So you're welcome to those too, but that was...
That's just, I mean, everything we request, we have to grandma request everything. And if you were offering those to just a regular customer, we wanted to make sure we have that same opportunity and agree with the same.
I think if you would have read the minutes...
I don't see the minutes. I don't get the minutes.
It's okay. I just wanted you to know what I...
I've looked online to where they're supposed to be posted on the state website, and I've looked on your website for your minutes, and they're not posted anywhere that I could have read them and recused them.
That's a legitimate
concern. Before this meeting, I tried to read them. I went to those two sites, and they were not posted as a draft before this meeting started.
We post the final minutes though, right?
Yeah, but they have not been posted.
I
couldn't have got that question answered.
Right, Kelly, I did misspeak. I was thinking that they had been posted.
That's all we're asking.
We don't post our
draft. If that was the intent, great. But if the intent was to keep giving minutes as a customer, we would like the same opportunity.
Right. Because what Wendy said, it was just a matter of wanting Blair to be recognized as having served for many years, and the very last set of minutes that we recognize him.
That's fine, just clarification to that. It was just where that was read and said, just from the notes that I was given. We just want to clarification.
Okay. Just a question for me. Aren't they a matter of public record?
They are. But
not the draft. Those were minutes before they had been approved.
From my understanding, drafts are supposed to be posted within a week or so of the original meeting, the drafts are. And then after the drafts, they come out and you approve and make changes, and then the final ones are posted. There wasn't a draft for me to read. There was nothing for me to look up and read on your minutes. And the only minutes that are posted on the state website is to September. I tried looking at November. I tried looking at October, November, December, and January. None of those minutes were posted on the state notice website for me to go back to post meetings. So to try to read your minutes and see what went on in meetings, I've really struggled to get that information.
Yeah, I think you made your point. So Mark, why are other minutes not being posted on the state website?
So as far as the minutes not being posted, oversight on my part, I'll make sure that wasn't had approved on the state's website.
Well, we did talk in our committee meeting last week about this specific issue, and I had made a push for us to have the minutes posted in the draft form, like a draft watermark on, so that the public can know that they are draft. I feel like that's always a good thing. The sooner we get that there, I believe we also have a way to provide like the actual audio, which is why we've gone to these mics. Have that information there as well. So that they can listen to the whole meeting versus abbreviated, abridged version.
Okay, Mark, Jennifer, we need to make sure that we're getting our minutes posted. And if we are required to post the draft, then we need to follow that as well.
Okay.
Thanks, Kelly.
Thank you.
Okay, the minutes of the board meeting for January 14th were emailed out to the board. Any comment, any correction, any discussion of those minutes? I would like to have the final copy of the minutes in front of me. I don't have them here today. Because I want to make sure that the questions that I had yesterday were addressed, and I've not...
They were in the email. The changes were made in the email that was sent out.
When did you send out the email? Yesterday afternoon. Well, unfortunately, I don't always look at my email.
That's okay. We can print those for you, but the changes that you requested were made, so we can get that. Do you want to move on to something else while you take the copy? We can do that.
Well, yeah, so we'll come back to the approval of the minutes after I've had a chance to look and see if my correction, or not necessarily correction, a change in the minutes were made to my satisfaction. So, Brent, do you want to cover the items under the Finance Committee?
Okay. being the new Finance Chairman, they emailed out, I guess, which one did we do first?
Disbursements
and expenses, and we went over there as an executive committee this morning, and did you get those emailed to you, Paul?
I never did see them.
Okay. So, anyway,
about the expenditures for Marcus Faust, and I indicated in the minutes that I would call Marcus and have a discussion with him. I did that call, and I reaffirmed what Dan had said before, that Marcus is providing us with a very good benefit. As I listened to what Marcus was talking to me about with some of the things that is going on in Washington, I felt like it's something we need to continue to be concerned with. And so, Paul, I can talk to you about that a little bit more detail another time, and anyone else who is concerned about what that expenditure is.
I think
you got a question.
I, being new, did not know who your vendors are and what their purpose is. I see a large name as Annister, and I'm wondering who they are.
question. So we have kind of three primary vendors that we go through, Anixter, Codale, and West United Electric. We get through Anixter a lot of our wire. We also get transformers through them, and then all the components we use to attach wire either to the poles or to get the wire underground. So oftentimes you see Anixter and Codale having real large expenditures just because of that wire and the other components we get.
The other one I have is about Horrocks Engineers.
Mm-hmm. So Horrocks, so as you know, we're installing a SCADA system up in the Elk Ridge right now. They planned that system for us. And so that bill, as you see there, is the final bill for them.
That's a good way to get to know what we do. That's a good way I've found in the past to bring up these questions about those to become familiar with what we do or who we work for.
Ask anything.
Okay. Bidding, Paul?
The biggest item, Kenny, is the on that second page with the UAMPS. Those are our power purchases for the month. UAMPS is the agency that we purchase most of our power through. The other is Strawberry Water Users, which you're familiar with. And that is also on here. Our power purchases for the Strawberry Water Users this month, if I can find it right off the top of my head, it was $43,180. And then with UAMPS, it was $271,523. So that's always our biggest purchase is the UAMPS bill. Any other questions about the...
If there's no other questions, I'll make a motion that we approve the January 2020 disbursements.
I second it. I second it.
One of the ones I was interested in, and it's just as interest, one of the credit card purchases was Bug Wranglers. I thought, well, that's kind of interesting. What are the Bug Wranglers? And come to find out, as I talked with Mark, we have had an infestation of mice in the building, in the warehouse and in the office. I guess Jennifer's nodding her head like, yeah, this has been a problem for a while. And so the Bug Wranglers were hired to come and, to me, a wrangler is a guy who threw a rope. And so the mice were all wrangled up.
Very successfully.
And so that was a $250 well spent?
Very well.
We've got a couple of cats I'll bring in, and they're cheaper than that.
You'll only charge $150.
$150 cats.
And if I may add, this is kind of a seasonal problem. Usually when it gets cold, we always get a couple of mice here and there. But for some reason this year, it was extra, extra bad. And I was telling Ray, we came back after Christmas, and it was just a real, real bad problem. So much so that at this point, we had to get an exterminator. But fortunately, it's been resolved, and we're going to try to keep that maintained so we don't have this problem again.
So your cookies and stuff over there should be whole.
We hope.
And not have some nibbles on them.
When you grab them?
Yeah. Their favorite is the buttercream dinner mints from Apple Spice, just so you're aware.
Yeah.
I have shreds of wrappers.
So you guys thought somebody else would take a bite.
You're not supposed to sample?
Yeah.
Or we didn't vote. We had a motion and a second, but we never took a vote.
We had the motion by me.
Seconded by
Paul. Yeah. All in favor of approval of the expenditures, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion passes.
Okay, now we've got the financial reports, and have Mark explain it to the engineer there.
All right. So I think all of you got the summary income statement, had a chance to look at it. Just some things I'm going to point out. So 58.33% of the year has passed already. You notice near the bottom of your sheet where it says total expense, you notice how it says 60%, almost 61%. So We're seeing that the expenses are a little bit higher than maybe we budgeted for. That's something we're kind of watching a bit. Another thing that I pointed out too there that very, very bothered me, you'll notice how we're kind of in the red still. It's about a third month in a row that we're kind of in the red. And the main reason why we're seeing that is I was looking over our finances for this last month. We're pretty, for most of the finances, we're pretty much kind of where we normally are. But the biggest change we're seeing is in our connection fee and also our new construction fee. So that's been down quite a bit compared to previous years. And that being said, I discussed this with the executive committee, but I've talked to Utility Financial Solutions, and I've asked them to give us a proposal for a cost of service study. As you know, about 2 years ago, we did a system study where we identified a lot of improvement that need to be made in our system. Also, too, we do know that growth is going to slow in our system. We know that eventually, before too long, upgrades are going to be built out. We also know that with litigation and everything that we're going through, there's going to be effect on our system with growth and everything. So I felt like it was really important right now to get a cost of service study done so we can identify what our costs were and we can start deciding how is the best way to address these costs moving forward with the changes we see coming towards it. So when I get that proposal, we'll bring it to the board, let all of you review it, and we'll kind of make a decision from there where to go moving forward.
Good time to do that. Okay, any questions as you go through that? If not, then I'll make a motion to approve the January 2020 financial report.
Okay, motion by Brent.
I second.
Second by Wendy. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes.
Okay, I have one other item here. The forklift that we have is a small forklift. They need to go out in the yard sometimes. It's not that conducive to the ground layout we got there. It gets stuck in different things. The main thing I would say is it's quite old. It's had to have repairs, and it's a 1985. I think it's time that we were ready to purchase something different. The one that they've looked at or going to have, they've got three proposals here, three forklifts. So they're about the same thing here. That they've comparables to what we're looking at here. And this one is, it's used, and it is 8,000 pound telescopic forklift, and it's 2014, it has 2,500 hours on it. It's in good shape. This, the H&E Equipment Services has it, and they just got it in. They said it's one of the cleanest ones they've had. And these new cost just over $100,000. This one is $59,275. And it would meet our needs. It's four-wheel drive. It'll go, 42 feet boom height, and 16-inch forks, frame carriage, and for what we need, they feel, and we as an executive committee have kind of talked about it, feel this would be something that would be a good asset for SESD to have. So, any questions on?
I'd like to add something there too, Brent. So, Brooke had approached me about 2 years ago, concerned about our current forklift situation. And so we've been budgeting for this for a couple of years now. Brent's only put me about $60,000. We've saved up the money for it. So it's not going to be we already have the money for it. That's why we brought it before, because we're ready. We have the money ready. We can purchase it at any time.
Something that staff uses it almost daily.
Yeah.
Lifting transformers and wire, and unloading trucks and so forth. So something that is used a lot. And the other forklift is getting stuck in the yard. It gets stuck in the mud. And so this one here would help alleviate that.
be able to sell the old one. Probably wouldn't get very much out of it, but we can get something out of it.
And also, too, with the old one, I've noticed in the last several months, we've had several invoices for repairs for the old one, so it's gotten to the point now where it's becoming money down. And it's just trying to cut the loss of that old one and get something that will hopefully require a lot less maintenance and be more serviceable and useful.
It's actually a Gale model RS8-42. If there are no other questions, then I would make a motion that we make a purchase of this book.
Any other discussion on that? We have a motion by Brent. We have a second.
Does it have big wheels?
Yeah.
If there's pictures of these are like it. They're comparable. I wanted you to run off a nice color picture. The color looks a lot nicer.
That's some big wheels.
Does that make you happy?
Needs to be sturdy if you're going to go up 42.
And if they add two fall, and then the nice thing about this forklift is they could even take it to certain job sites and they can use it on job sites.
Wait, not one.
So that's another reason why we're going to do this particular model, because he can use it not only here in the warehouse, but even on different job sites, which is such a work that they do as well.
We bought one a year ago.
So. Are you ready to sell that?
No. Huh? Oh, we love them.
Oh.
We can lift up to a 2,000 kVA transformer with ours. Ours will go up to, you said yours is 8,000. I think ours goes up to about 12,000.
We better buy a different one.
We'll
borrow. Oh, okay.
They're nice.
That's we had the same issue. Our pole yard is just a roto mill, and we hard wheeled forklift just doesn't travel in it. So we went to the same thing.
Well, I'll second the motion then.
Okay, second by Wendy. So we have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. Let's go back to the minutes. I looked at the minutes and the correction that I wanted to have made in the minutes was made. Are there any other questions about the minutes? We probably all had a chance to look at them last night. I didn't. I'm sorry, but Jennifer, I just didn't see them.
No worries.
And so, there are no questions or concerns, I need a motion to approve the minutes.
I second that motion.
Paul makes it.
She makes it.
Okay, Wendy made the motion and Paul seconded it. I missed it. You made
I didn't make it, but I will.
No. Okay. I just heard the second. Paul seconded.
He just knew what I was thinking.
Okay.
Paul reads my mind.
Didn't you make the motion?
No, I said I'll take a motion.
Take a motion. Paul, I thought you said I'll make a motion.
So Wendy,
you guys all hear me in your heads now. That's like my kids.
And, I second it.
Paul seconded the motion. All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay, thank you. And so Mark, taking Kelly's comment into consideration, I want those minutes posted on our website, ASAP.
We'll get them there, right?
Yeah. Okay. HB 52-4-so-and-so, we've got 3 days. That's the code requirement. I looked it up while we were.
What does it say about the draft?
They've got to be within 30 days, and the audio has to be available within 3.
Okay.
And Deidre Henderson was Bill's sponsor that amended that made that the new requirement this last legislative session, so 2019.
Okay. Find my agenda. Up there, here it is. All right, Joel, the Resource Committee.
Yeah, we met
We met last Wednesday at the Resource Committee, and one of the things that we did come up with was we were going to try to meet on the first Wednesday, was it? Of each month for that meeting at 4:30. So we'll have a set day and a set time so we can all schedule that instead of being, you know, Albert Skelner or wherever we're at. So we try to get that set up. And so we kind of come up with that as best case scenario for each of us. And then we discussed what Nelson was talking about the minutes and you know, what the state law requires as far as that. We also discussed a little bit about the conflict of interest disclosure forms. I think all of you have got a copy of that that needs to be filled out and turned in, so we can discuss that and go over that and make sure that we don't have any conflicts. I get a little bit of, I mean, I'm not sure. Some of it, as I filled mine out, I mean, I do have, I mean, it says name, brief description of business activity, identify all municipal or utility clients or service provided during the past 24 hours. In my case, I mean, I have contracts, or I have tanks with Eureka and Goshen, you know, for their city offices, or Salem. I think Salem's ballpark. I got a tank that I, you know, and I assume I need to list all those, you know, on this conflict of interest form of all the different entities and things. So it can be, you know, detailed. So I'm going to have to detail it. Even though I'm not actively involved in the business as much as, you know, I have managers and things that take care of my businesses for me. And so I'm going to have to get with them and find out exactly which cities I am involved with there. I don't think I own the Spanish Fork. You know, I used to have a tank down by the fairgrounds. You know, I used to have a tank down the fairgrounds in different places. Sometimes at the snack shacks, you know, yeah, ballparks, things like that. I've had tanks there before, you know. But anyway, it's important that we, you know, that we fill these out so we're not in conflict, you know, with
where do we get that form?
What are we doing here?
I email it to you. If you didn't get the email, Paul, I can print up a hard copy.
Well, I got the email, but I don't know how to fill it out on the computer.
You could print it off and fill it out by hand if you need to. But if you don't have the means to print it off, I can just get you a hard copy.
Well, I have a printer, but it only prints occasionally. If you can get me a copy, because I have no interest in anything.
I'll get you a copy.
Do you mean financial interest, or you don't care?
I got the first one, but if you did update, I didn't get the updated one as well.
So either way, if you need it, let me know. So Paul, I'll get you a hard copy. Kenny, I'll get you a hard copy as well. If anyone else needs a hard copy, let me know.
Yeah.
I know that last little while we kind of made a big deal about conflict of interest. A couple of reasons why. In a UAC meetings back last November, that was a big topic they had brought up. And plus, there were changes in the state law. So the main reason why we have this so detailed for you is so you know what your potential conflicts are, so that way you know what you're doing that could potentially affect you in your board work, because we don't want anybody in a situation where they're so we're just trying to do this to protect everybody.
Okay. So anyway, then what else did we discuss as far as committees? Didn't we talk about committees?
We did talk a little bit about Portsmouth.
Yeah.
Kind of an FYI, that was going to become important, so if we add additional questions, we could ask them. And then we talked about that we needed to probably start looking at what our business continuation plan is in a way with regards to Dan because of his health.
Yeah, we did talk about that.
Needing to address that
just so that we kind of have a clear path going forward where we're headed long-term.
I think we talked also about, as you're assigned to, like SUPPS or ULABS or whatever, that we could take Brett or Ryan for the expertise, for their technical expertise.
Yeah, we talked about that in the pre-
With meetings.
And URCA.
Yeah, URCA, also. So we have the technical aspect of it there also. Wendy, do you remember anything else?
Not substantial, no.
Okay.
I have just one more thing that will be on the agenda for next month. Hopefully, it will be on the agenda for next month. We need to okay a bid for the new cabinets in the basement where we had the water damage.
Right.
And so they got to fill in the window and stop the damage and then repair that. So they're finalizing the bids for that. We'll have that.
Yeah, well, we're going to executive committee, you can discuss that on the other day. You know what you're talking about. I may get that approved so we get going on the cabinets.
Yeah.
But I think that's pretty much on the resource.
Yeah, I think a little bit with regards to the kitchen area for the employees.
Right.
We had talked about how it is being covered at least partially under an insurance claim.
Right.
Correct.
Right. So there should be some money there that whether we've allocated them or not, the insurance company has.
Right.
So we have to be able to at least get started with it.
Yeah, there was damage to the cabinets. The Brooke has obtained some bids from cabinet makers and he's getting things prepared to present to us next month. But Nelson's right. There was an insurance claim, and they have paid on that claim. So it will pay a pretty good portion of what the damage was. The bigger expense, and we're not quite prepared to deal with that yet, is the outside grading of the of where all those rocks and the landscaping is. That's not working very well. The French drains that are in place, that's a ways farther out, but getting the kitchen taken care of is the first item that we'll fix, and that's going to happen next month. Okay, thanks, Joel, for your report. The executive committee, really didn't talk about this in the executive committee, but I want to give a CREATOR report. I just went to a CREATOR meeting a couple of weeks ago down in Las Vegas, and so I've prepared a report on that. I feel like I'm kind of in a catch-up mode with CREATOR. I've been to meetings once in a while over the last several years to CREATOR, and when I've gone, because I have not been involved on a regular basis, I really never really understood much about CREATOR. So I know that's where we get our power. I know enough about it to know the big picture, but all of the little picture, I'm really kind of trying to catch up.
Do you want to explain what CREATOR is
for
Kenny?
Not
for me, because I totally...
So, CREATOR is a nonprofit organization. It was established in 1978, and it was created to represent the CRISP, which is the Colorado River Storage Project, the customers that receive power generated through the Colorado River system. There are several power systems on dams that were built by the Bureau of Reclamation. The biggest one is the one down at Glen Canyon Dam. There are eight turbines in that dam, and they generate about 1,300 megawatts of power. So it's a fairly big deal. All of the states that are part of the
Colorado River system receive power from the CRISP allocation. Our allocation isn't really very big, but we still get an allocation from CREDA. The Bureau of Reclamation owns and operates the dam, and they have that responsibility to deal with not only the hydropower, but the operation of Glen Canyon Dam in regards to endangered fish, the municipalities that receive water from the Glen Canyon Dam and Lake Mead, Plainy Gorge for that matter. There's a huge agricultural use associated with the water behind those dams. In California, they use a lot of agricultural water. We use agricultural water here in Utah. The Central Utah Project was all built as part of the Colorado River system to get an allocation of water from the Colorado River over into the basin we live in. That's why they've got these trans-basin diversions, tunnels going through the mountains, etc., so the water from the Colorado River can flow into Utah Valley or into St. George. They're talking about a pipeline down in St. George to bring water from Lake Powell to St. George. And so it's a massive thing, the Colorado River system. So CREDA just has one responsibility, and that is to represent the customers that receive Colorado River power. There's the Western Area Power Association, or what they call WAPA, that's the acronym. They own and operate the electrical transmission system. And so CREDA, every time they meet, they have WAPA representatives come to the meeting to discuss transmission. They have the Bureau of Reclamation come to the meeting to talk about the various aspects and components of what's going on in the entire Colorado River system, because what happens in agriculture may have an effect on CRISP. What happens with endangered fish in the Colorado River has an effect and a potential impact on the CRISP power. They're always monitoring the water supply going into Lake Powell, because in drought years, obviously, the pool within the lake is going to be impacted by how much water goes out of the lake. And so right now, water supply looks pretty good. We're getting a pretty good snowfall this year. And so they're anticipating that we're going to have a pretty decent water year. The December flow was 97% of normal, pretty good. Right now, Lake Powell is 52% full. That doesn't sound very good. They're anticipating that with the snowpack that we're going to that we're receiving now, that Lake Powell will probably come up to maybe 56% full. Now that doesn't sound like very much, but when you consider every foot of water is, I don't know how many million acre feet of water, that's still significant. 2019, the inflow to Lake Powell was 122% of normal, and I think this year could be similar. There is an operations committee as part of CREDA, and there was a lot of discussion about the operations of Lake Powell going on right now. The Colorado River system provides water for over 40 million people, and 5.5 million acres of irrigated land. It contributes $1.4 trillion to our economy. That's a pretty sizable contribution. Serious droughts have plagued the river since the turn of the century, and scientists warn that a new normal is developing. Water temperatures, runoff, increased water use by crops, less snowpack, all affect what happens with Creta. And these new challenges have forced those depending on the Colorado River to seek new approaches to managing and operating that supply of water. So drought contingency plans have been developed in both the upper and lower basins, and that's what the operations committee is dealing with right now, are the drought contingency plans. Some agricultural water users have expressed concern that a demand management program will be the beginning of the end of the farming and ranching communities and their lifestyle. But compared with agriculture, the major municipalities have the junior water rights. And so they're trying to wrestle away the water rights from the agriculture. So there's the potential for a lot of conflict, and it's not getting any easier to manage. As populations grow, demands for water are huge. Strawberry water users, you know as much as I do, all of the demands for water. It's a huge thing. So if water is taken for municipal use, does that mean some of the food that we're eating is going to be diminished? And we're going to have to rely on our food from somewhere else. And so this operations committee that is part of CRETA is having to consider all of those factors as they look also at the generation of power. So what does it mean for power? If Lake Powell drops below 3,490 feet above sea level, then hydropower production operations at Glen Canyon Dam will decline with an unprecedented impact to operations. Right now, I think Lake Powell is probably close to 3,600 feet. So it's still got to drop quite a ways to get down to the 3,490. But it could. To better protect hydropower at Glen Canyon Dam, the Upper Basin drought contingency plan would likely involve the other lakes, meaning if Lake Powell drops, Flaming Gorge is going to open their headgates more to run water down the Colorado River to fill Lake Powell back up. And other lakes and reservoirs on the Colorado system. There's Aspinall, and there's a lot of different dams. So that was a big discussion with the meetings in Las Vegas. They talked about black start. I've never heard the term black start before. WAPA used that term. And they talked about how even the National Homeland Security is concerned in a large-scale blackout that if generators went down and all of the ancillary, I'm not sure that's the right word, the ancillary power that was part of that blackout goes out, starting that generator back up is a problem. And so National Homeland Security is saying, you know what, hydropower is a good feasible way to help with, because it's always able to generate, it doesn't depend on electricity to generate, that's a potential benefit for homeland security. So the advantages of using hydropower electric for black start, and I'm not explaining it very well because I don't understand it very well, but it was something they talked about, that hydropower is that it will be a benefit in the case of big, large national potential blackouts. 7% of the nation's power is hydro, not very much, but they consider that to be an important element.
Maybe I'm just totally simplifying this, but it seems like they're probably talking about if all the power's out, how do you start a generator? Because
right.
You don't. But water will still be running.
Yes.
So hydropower is a good source of power.
To put back onto the
grid. To get everything started again, to jumpstart. It's like you can't jump your car without another
right.
car battery.
Right. You get the concept.
Okay.
But
I think that's what, is that what you're saying?
That
yeah.
concept is difficult to convey. But
well,
yeah,
that's why we have to have detail, guys.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
CREDA also has an adaptive management program that was developed to provide an organization and the process to cooperatively look at things like the endangered fish species, a lot of other things. But anyway, I think as I attend more and more of these meetings with CREDA, I'll start to kind of feel a little bit more comfortable with it. It's kind of been a hard learning curve for me to step into. You know, Blair and Dan had been going to those meetings for years, and so it's kind of interesting to kind of catch up.
Yeah, I might add, I was down at last September, and I went through the Glen Canyon Dam. SESD's logo is down there.
It is.
Up on one of the walls is one of the power that it provides power to.
SESD, you know, we're pretty small in the CREDA rubble things. We've got 4,000 customers, and we're talking Tri-State in Colorado. By far, we're just little tiny, but you know what? We still have a seat on the board. That's pretty impressive, you know, to have that seat. U.S. has a seat on the board. AMPA has a seat on the board. St. George has a seat on the board. Provo has a seat on the board. And SESD has a seat on the board. Those are the seats in Utah. And so, pretty good that we have a seat on that board. Though we may not contribute a lot, we're still there to contribute. All right. The next item is a board representative for the Utah Rural Electric Co-op Association. And Blair had been the representative on that, and I believe Dan was the alternate. And so we need to have a representative on that. I would recommend Joel because he's over the resource committee, but if there's another recommendation, I'd be happy to consider it.
Well, I would like to just kind of add to that. Part of the reason we talked about having an employee go along with someone from the board, this is continuation piece, like you talked about, you've got to get yourself up to speed. This way, the board members, we're going to come and go. So hopefully the employees will be here until they retire, so that's part of the thinking behind that. And so I would, my recommendation would be, you know, I would second that motion to have Joel be the the RDCA representative, but I think the alternate should be an employee for that reason.
And I'm just fine with that. In fact, I've talked with Brooke about going with me to the UAMPS meetings, and so Brooke would serve as an alternate as far as UAMPS is concerned. And so, what would you recommend as far as an alternate with UREZA?
I'm inclined to recommend Brooke be
on both of them.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, because I tend to think that he's in a position where he's got the knowledge and the ability, and he'll be around here a long time if we take care of him.
Okay. I think that's a good idea. So is everybody in agreement with that? We need a motion to firm that up. So would someone make a motion to...
Is there a resolution that has to be done in conjunction with this? Because it seems to me like we had to require...
Yes. Yeah, there'll be a resolution. I'll find that and get that.
Okay. So this is more of a second finger in the wind and seeing which way it's blowing. Mm-hmm. And formalize it in our next meeting.
Okay.
So am I to understand you're going to use two people, Joel for the board and Brooke as an employee?
Yes.
So,
as an alternate.
As an alternate. Yeah. And he'll still go along even though he's an alternate, just to be there. He can fly on the wall, know what's going on, give us direction. You know, it'd be like me trying to tell you how to run your business. I don't think I'd be very good at it.
That's good.
So, I would like to have a motion made for the board seat and the alternate for UREZA.
So, I want to make a motion for Joel. Is the board, or the
board representative.
Board representative, voting member, and the alternate would be Brooks.
Okay.
Is that his last name, Christensen?
Yes.
Second?
I'll second that.
Second by Nelson. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay, any opposed? Motion carries. I think it would be well then to also have a motion to have Brooke serve as the alternate for UAMPS.
So stated.
And I'll second that.
Okay, we've got a motion and a second to have Brooke as the alternate to UAMPS. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion carries.
Now, can that change if it needs to, I guess?
Sure.
Yeah.
What about CRETA? We need an alternate. Right now, at the meeting, I think it was like last November, the meeting that I wasn't at, when I was appointed to be the board member for CRETA, I'm not sure who was listed as the alternate on that. Do you remember? Was that Dan?
I think it was. Yeah.
Should we just leave Dan there? They only meet every other month, and it's kind of an expense to go to the CRETA meetings because you have to fly to Phoenix or to.
And I think that's appropriate. If you feel okay just waiting and seeing how he turns out, I think that'd be fine. Then maybe in the future, if we do need to make another alternate, then we always can.
All right. Speaking of UAMPS, I emailed out to each of you an invitation that UAMPS is sponsoring a tour of the facilities up at Corvallis, Oregon, with the new scale facilities they've got up there. And so UAMPS, they are inviting boards, representatives of the cities to go to Corvallis and tour the new scale facilities as part of the carbon-free power project. Did you receive that
I did.
And are any of you interested?
I would love to go. I'm got to just confirm with my schedule that I can make it work.
The better.
What day is it?
I was hoping to know when I came to this meeting, so hopefully I can.
Well, there's two options. There's one was at the end of March, and the other one was like the next week.
Well, it was the same days. It was like
March 31st.
And April 1st. Or April 1st and 2nd.
Yeah, it.
They overlapped.
Okay. But flying out there were two options for flying out.
But it was like consecutive days.
Yes. Yeah.
You could go the 31st of March or the 1st of April.
Right. But you're mm-hmm. you're there for basically 3 days. You fly out.
That's right. You're right.
You fly out there, and SCSD would pay the cost of the air travel. UAMS would pay the cost of everything else. So the hotel, the food, the bus transportation, et cetera. Because you fly into Portland, and it's a fairly long drive up to Corvallis. And so the sooner you'd like to go, the quicker I can, the sooner you let me know, I can get back to UAMS and get us on the list. So, did you all receive that? Did you get that?
I didn't see that on.
I remember seeing it.
It came on Friday.
Was it a mail out?
It was an email on Friday from Ray.
Oh, okay.
I didn't get it.
It was 9 something in the morning on Friday from Ray.
Okay. I will, I'll get you a hard copy before we leave.
I think I'd like to go.
Okay. It's worthwhile. I'm not going to be going because I've already been out there like 3 times already. So for me to go out there, it would just be...
It really is just one overnight. So you can go on the 31st of March and in the morning, come back the next April 1st, the next day at night, or you can leave April 1st in the morning and come back on the 2nd at night.
All right, I'm glad you're refreshing my memory. I sent it out.
Well, it was all very complex. I was trying to sort it out myself. So,
so who did not get that? You don't remember seeing it?
No, I did see it.
You did see it. You didn't get it. You got it. Brent didn't get it. Did you get it?
Yes.
Okay. So, like ASAP, let me know. I'll give you and Brent a hard copy.
Do you want to write the names down now? That
reach me a pen over there. And that. Do you know which one you want to go to?
Doesn't matter. Either one's fine.
Okay.
My schedule's pretty tight.
That's your.
So, Paul,
as long as it doesn't interfere with you buying your season tickets, you'll be fine. Yeah.
Would you be more comfortable if you went with people that are on our board?
That'd be fine. I'd rather go with our group.
So you'd rather if you're going to go?
Yeah.
You care which day?
Whichever works for everybody.
First is a Tuesday, first would be a Wednesday, and second a Thursday.
You want to go? Or you want to go?
No. I've got
you want to go, Kenny?
I would like to go, but I can't.
Okay. So then it's going to be windy. So the three of you will try to go. All right. So I'll coordinate with Wendy because it sounded like she was the one who was mostly wondering which day would fit best with her. And either you two could go either day.
So they have units there that they take on?
No, they have a simulated unit there.
Okay.
They've got a room with simulation of all of the computer screens and that would go with each of the individual small modular reactors.
Okay.
And they've got a simulated mock-up of what it would look like up in
Idaho, right?
Yeah. So that's not where it's going to be built. It's going to be built up at the INL facilities in Idaho.
Right.
But I think you actually felt like there were a lot of people who would like to see what those facilities are like. It's pretty interesting.
Are they going to let us know in March where the price point is?
Yeah.
We're going to take the off ramp?
Right. That's what.
I'm sitting there looking at it, well, I really wouldn't want to rearrange my schedule to go see something if we might be bailing it anyways. Yeah, that's entering into, that was part of my decision process, is I don't know what my schedule is and whether or not.
Do they have, say, that we, informational film or something that will?
They've got some videos.
You know, that they would show that and, you know, we look at it as a board sometimes?
Yeah.
You know, see.
We did see a little video last month of the Levitt International group.
Yeah.
It might help you to, if you went to have a more favorable.
I'm all in favor of it, but if the price point is up here and it doesn't make sense, then.
Well, the price points, the price point won't be up here because UMass will bail out.
Right, and that's what I'm wondering, is whether or not, because.
I don't think it's going to happen. I think they're going to keep the price down to 55 mils. That's what it's going to be. Or UMass will bail.
Well, I think it's great because it allows for the use of alternate energies.
Yeah.
Some of those things that are going to become more and more common, you got to have a way to be able to ramp that power up quickly and efficiently, and that's the only technology out there that allows for that to occur.
There is going to be a day, and it's not going to be very many years away, that we're going to have an administration that will close out all power plants that will cause climate change.
That's what they're saying this morning, that Bernie, that's one of his executive orders right off the bat, is right. To make that a national emergency, climate change.
Yeah.
And that would, he could cause all kinds.
We can't live on wind alone and solar alone. Oh, nuclear is.
So we'll have to go nuclear.
What's that?
We'll have to go nuclear, which has a double meaning.
Nuclear.
Yeah, well, I think we will be if that happens. Uh-huh.
All right, Brent, SUVPS report.
Okay, I guess this week they put in new CTs and PTs to Dry Creek. They got that handled. They were having problems there. And they're working on an agreement between all of the SUVPS members that they can go in each other's substations if they need to do work in there. And so that have access if they need it. And so that hopefully we'll get that through. Let's see. The 46th line, the easements are being recorded with the county so that the property owners can see better where our easements are. If they're building on property, when they go to the county and go to get permits, they can see better how that's where the easements are.
The SUVPS easements? What easements are you talking about?
Well, that's what we talked about there was the SUVPS easements. But that's the one we were concerned with. I don't know whether they're doing all of them or not. Do you guys know if they're doing others other than that?
The BOR is supposed to be looking at
it.
With
it. I thought I should have done that.
So it's the Bureau easements and right-of-ways to have the SUVPS line or the Bureau line.
Thank you. Okay, at Loafer, we've ordered two breakers that will help us between Loafer and Souter. It will help with Nebo and Rocky Mountain, but that was to so we can feed each way back around so that we help with our, if the brakes go down, another one will kick in automatically so that they, we don't lose part of the customer.
So is that, those breakers with Loafer and Suter, are they SUVPS breakers?
They're at Loafer, and they'll be our breakers.
So what? So we will be replacing those?
We're adding them.
We're adding those breakers at our expense, right?
SUVPS.
SUVPS. SUVPS. Okay, that was my question.
Okay. And so that was just...
So if they're at SUVPS expense, are they owned by SUVPS? I'm not clear on that.
I'm sure they would be, yeah.
Well, that sounds to me like why you're looking at that agreement, get into each other's...
It is.
So that
there's no confusion, there's no problem, that if SUVPS or another city needs to come into a substation to work on it because they're tied into the system, they have the right to be there.
Which only makes sense.
Yeah.
If we're going to be all part of
it. We've verbally had it, but it's not in writing. So we just want to get it in writing so that if there's ever any questions, it's legal and there's...
Good. Feeding through yours. Okay. I think I mixed that up enough. But, yeah, we did that. We also put in... we mainly renewed the officers, or the... You have to call them officers in there. Well, who are they? Some of the people. We just renewed who they were. Let's see, the chairman. Chairperson. Who is it,
chairman? Doug Wilton.
Doug Wilton? Oh, yeah. Oh. From Springville.
Oh, from Payson.
So, Doug Wilton, the new assistant is, that's their new city council guy. It just got, I don't know his name either. Is that your...
Springville.
Springville City Council?
Yeah, it's a Springville.
Okay.
I can't remember his name.
Yeah.
His name's Pat Money, or Patrick Money.
Yeah.
His dad used to, Money, yeah. His dad used to be the superintendent of Springville years ago.
So,
Brookie is all, he goes with you.
He goes with me. He's the alternate. He helps me understand what's going on there, what they've been doing. He goes to the is the resource committee? What's the technical committee? And so they have a separate meeting for that, where they talk about things that they're working on together. Things are coming up.
Okay.
The big thing though was the Sun Glow was closed. We had to go to Spanish Fork City to have our meeting.
Why is it closed? Is it?
We don't know. We were right there. Yes. I don't know. They said it's going to be under new management. But they don't know. Mm-hmm. Unless anybody's heard a difference since.
Well, good. Thanks for that report. Are there any other items that we're not on the agenda, but are there items that we need to put on the agenda for next month? Or? Okay.
Just the one I mentioned earlier about the
right. Okay. The last item on the agenda is closed session, if there is a need for a closed session. I don't have a need for one, but if any of you feel like they have a need for a closed session, we can do that. Okay, if not, do we need a...
I move we
adjourn.
Oh, sorry. Young whippersnapper.
I'll make most of your chair.
Second.
Second by Wendy. Thanks for being here. Good lunch.
Thanks, guys. Thanks.
Thank you.
Good to see you guys. I'll see you up there.
Mm-hmm.